Hi, folks. My name is Travis Tanis, and welcome back to the Young Dems Table. There's a lot going on in federal, state, local politics right now, and the Young Dems are overly energized right now to talk about these issues and everything that's happening. So we have a good group with us tonight, and we're going to be addressing the topics that so many of us are asking to talk about. So to start out, would anyone like to address the elephant in the room about the change between Biden and Harris? How about Bailey? Let's go with you first.
Sure. I mean, it definitely, like, for to say the least, took me by surprise. But I don't know. We've seen recently we were really, really excited about Kamala Harris. My work on the national level, not necessarily statewide, has yeah. We've been like, whether it's like, I don't know. We've been seeing a lot of like, whether it's the coconut tree memes or like the brat memes or all that sort of fun stuff that like. I don't know. I'm feeling really hype. Everyone's really excited about Kamala Harris, and I'm super excited to, I don't know, do this work more than ever.
Thank you for that. I know you're back and forth from DC, so I can only imagine what you're hearing about it. Danny, how about you? You want to comment?
Sure. I mean, just like Bailey, it took me by surprise. I did kind of see it coming in the weeks leading up to Biden dropping out just by seeing the key Democrats that were asking him to step down. Just like Bailey said, I think we're all energized and ready to stand but behind Kamala Harris. She is more than qualified for the job and is ready to take on the job, and I believe she's ready to defeat Donald Trump in November. And I look forward to being a part of that movement and a part of that change and securing and holding on to our democracy and letting it be known that Trump has no place here in politics or in the White House in general.
How about you, Haritha?
Yeah, I am very, very excited. I will say that I have seen everything like leading up to it. It was almost like it was gonna boil. If you boil a pot of milk, it was gonna boil over. All the pieces were in place. I was just waiting for the day that it would happen, and I think it happened at the perfect time. There is some speculation if that was, pre-planned. He might have purposely waited until after the RNC to make that announcement after the Republicans have picked their vice president. So it's been really exciting, and I know that before the Democratic Party was really, really split. But I'm glad that right now we're going into the election with this message of unity and also honestly like a revitalization and a lot of energy around the movement from all age groups.
Andre, how about you?
So I definitely have been looking at a lot of the early polls that have been coming out, just like testing how Kamala Harris is in totality as a candidate, even without a vice president pick. And there has been, at least from what I've seen, a lot of like newfound upswells of energy and just people feeling like this is great, a 50-year-old candidate. We're gonna, be able to really speak to the points of, Donald Trump's actual criminal history instead of trying to be on the defensive about age, just because of a couple of years of an age difference, honestly, between the two candidates. It really was a little bit inspiring also to see that the vice president pick that former President Trump chose was actually the most unpopular vice presidential pick in literally generations. It is so bad that anybody that Kamala Harris picks is just going to keep, I think, compounding on that meme value. And there's already talk of Mark Kelly. There's talk of, Pennsylvania. There's talk of California. There's a few people. Gretchen Whitmer's already said no, so we know that she's kind of out there. But it's interesting to see what the field is kind of fleshing out to be and what people are saying, because it seems like a lot of people are very quiet, but everybody's very much in support of her, like, for the convention. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. How about you, Ira? What are you thinking?
I think echoing a lot of what everyone else is saying, the one thing I'll add is that, like, I think there's a palatable shift between we're voting for the lesser of two evils to we're voting for a candidate that we actually want to vote for, which is just really exciting to be around. And it makes you want to organize and it makes you want to do all of the things revolving around getting people to vote. So I'm really excited to kind of see how this takes off and how they build upon this energy. The DNC is coming up in less than a month. So, kind of how they take advantage of that and go from there.
Yeah, I would definitely say I've seen so much shift and change, especially this past month. How are a lot of you feeling, like, especially after the debates and some of the speeches and up until this past weekend when we got the news? Bailey, I know you're really in DC a lot, so what's the sentiment around there?
Yeah, I mean, I think like, I mean, pre this weekend, like, I think honestly, I was still really excited about everything. I know this is like obviously like my first time really getting to do this on the level that I'm doing it. It's, I mean, really, really interesting, really, really fun. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know, I'm having a hard time like for the past, I don't know, since whatever Sunday has been a little different. But yeah, I don't know, all over the place, but overall, just really, really, really excited.
How about you, Ira? What are you thinking?
I think it's interesting how quickly the campaign shifted over. I know that like he had like Biden had to have been thinking about this. I know there was a lot of speculation. The past 2 weeks have been very like so many people calling for him to step down. He got COVID, he's been in isolation. But I was just on a call for youth voters for Harris, and it was like their email is still youthvoters@joebiden.com, right? And it's like the way that the campaign has just totally shifted all of its resources, all of its attention. I'm really interested to see how they're gonna kind of, if they're gonna take the narrative of like Harris replacing Biden, or if they're gonna try to kind of separate her and make her own person more. Because right now the idea is still kind of she's the replacement. And I would like to see her be kind of standing as her own candidate more.
Yeah, it's funny. There's so much commentary these last couple months, right? Danny, how about you? What are your thoughts since the debates and the speeches and the changes that have happened since?
Sure. I mean, I was still feeling great. I was feeling energized and ready to do whatever it takes to elect Joe Biden, regardless if he stayed in the race or not. It was a little sad to see the state that he was in, and also still feeling eager, or I guess motivated to still take on the job. Really made me feel great as well. And to Ira's point too, I think it was really remarkable to see how quick the campaign moved everything over to Kamala. That just goes to speak that Joe Biden has trust in her. The campaign had trust in her since the very beginning and knew that we weren't going to have to make a tough decision on trying to find somebody else to do it from the very bottom up. So to see that happen, it really brings hope to a lot of people. I was talking with a couple young people this morning, actually, and they feel energized. I mean, we weren't around, we weren't ready to vote when Barack Obama was running for president, but from what everybody is saying, this energy is bringing us back to the Obama Biden ticket that we had in 2008, the Obama movement, I guess you could say. And so seeing young people taking advantage now as our first time presidential election and being energized to vote for our first Black woman to take office or to hold the office of president is just really breathtaking and amazing. So overall, I still feel very motivated. And again, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to elect Kamala Harris.
Andre, what was some of the sentiment that you were hearing the last couple months leading up to this decision?
Yeah, it was definitely mixed among the people that I was listening to. I mean, there was a little apprehension. What's going on? What's kind of the game plan here? Especially after the debate, I think was where I got the most call, the most concern. I think I even had a few people really trying to even get me to comment for their formal publications, and I was just like, nope, I'm not going to do that. I just want to see. They already announced he had a cold. Let's see what he's going to do for, his rallies. Let's see how he follows up to it. Obviously, the interview and his presser with Zelensky started to just make that spiral even more apparent, I would say. And I think that was when my phone was just nonstop going off at that point. And there were just people asking me, like, what's going on? He's flubbing. Like, how are you gonna keep this momentum going? Let's keep this momentum going. We have to beat Donald Trump. He's a literal criminal. How are we really presenting this case right now? And then after Sunday, all of those people, it just seems like the tide just turned absolutely like 180 degrees. Everybody's like, all right, let's just, keep going. We now have this newfound energy. Let's just keep powering through. Once we see that VP pick, I think Ira, like, we'll see that Kamala candidate really come out as her own champion. I think it's going to take that choice, because then we could see where her mind is at, what she's thinking about, who she thinks can complement her well, and then we can really start pushing forward from there. And I mean, getting that war chest from the, you know, Biden-Harris original ticket is definitely critical at this point, because Trump has earned quite a bit, and we need to, you know, make sure we close that gap. And Kamala, I think, is at 100 million, I think was the last time I saw donor numbers. So it's really amazing in the last 72 hours how much she's earned.
Haritha, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I think like just after the debate, even like before the debate, and up to the announcement that we had this past weekend, I was honestly feeling pretty defeated and pretty, like I was still going to go vote for Joe Biden, still going to vote blue. At the time, I found a lot of hope in our state and local candidates, because there's just so much more hope and change for progressivism and a lot of young people running in our own backyard that I love to support. But I didn't get that same feeling from the federal level. And from what I was seeing, many other people did not feel themselves be represented in a candidate like Biden, who I have so much respect for. He is an amazing candidate. But I think what a lot of young people really wanted to see was him passing the torch. And that's no detriment to his lack of being good president. I think he was an amazing president. But you know, the time has come, and when people start to lose confidence in a candidate, when a party starts to become divided, it is time to pass that torch. And I'm really, really glad that he did. Although it was really, really tough within the Democratic Party to navigate those tensions, because there were a lot of people who were incredibly supportive of, you know, keeping Biden in the race. And it often felt like those who didn't, who did want him to step down, were kind of being pushed to the sides or told that our worries weren't substantial enough to have him step down. But I'm really glad that, you know, all the movements and all the organizing that people have done to make those calls a reality have led to Biden taking the responsible decision to step down. And again, respect him for that. And Kamala will be great. And to Ira's point, I think they are making her own candidate, and I'm super excited for that. Like her ad that came out today, amazing. She had a Beyonce song in the background, and honestly, that was fire. So I'm super excited to see all the socials and the stuff our media team has been coming up with. I think we are going into this election cycle with a lot of optimism and positivity. So I'm excited on all levels of government.
All of you are making valid points. And I think as young individuals, it's so ironic that when Biden first started in politics, he got criticized for being too young. And then after a very long, successful career, he was criticized for being too old. But I think all of us can recognize the work that he did and appreciate it so much. Now looking forward, a candidate like Harris represents so much and brings so much to the table. A question that I want to propose more so to Ira, Haritha, and Bailey is, how do you feel currently that we could possibly have a female candidate, especially a female candidate of color, running the country in a couple months? And what does that representation mean to you?
I can start. I think that I remember being 10 during the 2016 election, and a lot of the rhetoric around everything was kind of Hillary can't win because she's a woman. And like, that was still kind of the idea, right? That like, oh, she's a woman, that's her biggest problem. Not the emails, not whatever her policies, not whatever issue, she's a woman and that's the problem. And so, and then we had, you know, we had Obama, and then we had a woman, and then we had two white men against each other in 2020. And it's really, really nice, I think, to see so many people so excited to vote for Harris this time. And I see a lot less of the she's a woman so she can't win rhetoric. There is still rhetoric around, you know, stuff she's done, but that's the focus rather than, so I think that's really nice. And also, you know, knowing that there's someone in higher office as a woman of color, I'm Indian and she's half Indian, and seeing that idea, just like the fact that there is a space for us in higher offices and that it is possible to get there, is really inspiring and really exciting for the future too.
Yeah, I am super excited to see a woman of color running for the presidency. I think I was 12 around when the 2016 election happened, and that was a scary time. I know before that, when Obama was elected, there was this whole idea of, oh, racism is solved because we have the first Black president. When obviously we know that is not true, on so many levels. There's still so much that has to be done, and then we hit the 2016 election. I will say Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. She lost due to the Electoral College. And even during these calls for Biden to not step down, amidst those calls, there were a lot of people saying, oh, America isn't ready for a woman to be president. America isn't ready for a woman of color to be president. But I don't think that's true. I think we are ready, and now is the best time more than ever. And to me, as someone who is also a woman of color, she is an Indian woman of Tamil descent. That's the same identity I share, actually. We're both Tamil. So it really, really means a lot to see a woman of color in that space. I don't see that very often, especially someone of South Asian origin, because we're just so underrepresented. So it means a lot. And personally, my call for her would be to connect with our community more and kind of embrace that aspect too, just so we can also really, really take pride in that, because it's something that's me so meaningful for our community as well.
Yeah, I wanted to leave all the space for the two of you to touch on that. But like, I mean, I was 8, almost 9 when Donald Trump was elected, and like crazy. To like, I mean, even then I remember myself being so upset about the result of that election. Because like, I don't know, like I remember my mom telling like little 8-year-old me, like, we're gonna have a woman in the White House. I was like, yeah, we are. And then yeah. But anyway, like this is really exciting, not just for me, but also like I feel like my younger self would be really proud that I'm getting to do this work and that I'm getting to do this, which is really cool. But like, I mean, I think I have two younger sisters, and like I think it's just a really cool aspect to be like, hey, here's your representation, that we don't get to see all of the time. And I mean, this is so like we should have done this a very long time ago, but you know, we're still here and it's still really exciting. And you know, I'm really grateful that I get to do this and, you know, make my younger self proud, and like little girls everywhere.
If I could add one thing really quickly,
Yeah.
I remember being in like 7th or 8th grade, and someone was like, you know, when you're interested in all these things, they're like, oh, you're going to be president. And someone being
Yep.
like, you could be the first woman president. And me thinking,
Crazy.
if it takes that long for a woman to be in office, we have problems. And so the fact that it's like finally happening is really nice and really just like thank you. I don't want to
Yeah,
be the first woman president.
exactly. Like that's like I've pulled out that talking point since I was like 6. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to be, but there's got to be someone before me. Like, yeah.
I just can't see us getting to that point. I think by the time that would happen, for maybe 2040 at the minimum. And then even like that is crazy. And that is me being 35 or 36,
Yeah, I mean,
which you need to be a lot older to run for office. But also, I just think it's so interesting the options that we have on this ballot. This would be like the least likely of election to have the first woman president, because we have the Republican candidate, where democracy is literally on the line. We have Project 25, a potential dip into totalitarianism and a dictatorship. And on the other side, we have the first woman president, which it's absolutely crazy to me that we're in this scenario right now. But I am so ready to fight for the right option to happen.
yeah, I mean, like, really excited about, like, I don't know, when Kamala Harris was picked as Joe Biden's running mate. And, like, now we're, like, at a whole new level about that. I'm, like, so excited. I know I keep saying that, but, like, this is, like, really exciting. I mean, I wish, like, I really do think, besides just, you know, being a woman, I think Kamala Harris is, like, really strong on policies, especially for young people, that have made me really proud in the past. And, you know, I'm really excited to, like, help her get in the White House. But, yeah, I'll say it once again. I'm just very excited.
So In 2016, I was 21, and I was in college, and I remember that election because it's what got me involved in politics. And it's so funny, like, with all of our age differences here, like, that election especially got so many of us involved. For me, I remember the next day being like a national tragedy had just happened. Like, I went to my classes and it was just silent and everyone was depressed and it was just the scariest thing. But I've been hearing a lot of conversations as to who her running mate could be. And something that I would love, and I keep seeing a lot of people are around our age talking about, is Pete Buttigieg. And for me, that would be a representation that I would be able to see as a gay man, as vice president candidate. So that ticket in my mind would be winning. But Danny and Andre, what are your thoughts on the VP pick?
Sure. You know, I think in an ideal world, that would be a nice ticket. But I don't think, unfortunately, the country is at the point right now where we could elect our first female president and an openly gay vice president. It would be nice, but again, we're not there yet. We still have work to do. But I think around the VP pick, you know, Kamala has to be very careful about who she picks. And like Andre said, I think she will find somebody who's gonna compliment her very well. She does have a lot of connections, being a former US Senator, Attorney General. But, you know, I think a lot of what I'm hearing too, she needs to pick somebody who's moderate, somebody who can appeal to voters that maybe Joe Biden could have appealed to that Kamala can't. I totally agree, but I also would like to see another candidate who is appealing to young voters. I think the young voters are going to be the ones that are going to take this over the finish line, and being able to have a candidate like Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania or Senator Mark Kelly, somebody who does share the same values within our own party, and also can bring a different, I guess you could say, diversity in issues to the ticket. You know, someone had mentioned to me earlier about Senator Mark Kelly's stance on border, on immigration, and how that may be different from Kamala Harris's, and how that could appeal more voters that maybe Kamala wouldn't be able to appeal on her own. But I think she just needs to be strategic. I have full confidence that there are great people out there that can help her win this ticket. And I just look forward to seeing what's going to come in the weeks to come before the convention.
I very much echo the same thoughts as Danny on this. I mean, I would love a like Buttigieg type of ticket. I feel like that would definitely pull the scale very left. But I've heard a lot of commentary about how, I mean, Kamala is invigorating younger voters. She's invigorating people of color. She's invigorating all these other blocks that kind of were not being pulled before when Joe Biden was at the front of the ticket, right? We were hearing about, you know, Black voters being engaged or not being engaged and all of these other things. And at this point now, it seems like the question is, can we get Midwestern voters? It looks like we need to also tap into women voters as well. It seems like when polls are being, you know, sent out, it's, I think it was 1 in 4 are still lukewarm on the concept of a Kamala ticket. And it's those, I think, areas where maybe, and I'm really trying to remember exactly back to the 2020 Democratic slate, because those are probably where you could see maybe some of the potential for the VP picks. I'm thinking like a Tim Ryan, who was out of Ohio. He was the representative that was running at that point. Something like that, that might be a stable pick, and it would get those Midwestern voters that she definitely needs. I think that might be where the thought process is. I mean, that's definitely why Mark Kelly was being picked as well. Arizona being a purplish kind of area, that definitely pulls maybe a block of voters that is a little bit sleepy, but would come out if, you know, the right kind of person is picked.
Yeah, I think especially when with the DNC coming up, I don't expect to see anyone else putting their name forward. I just don't think it's realistic. And you guys can feel free to jump in and add to that. But that's where I think Kamala will be our ticket and will be at the top. We'll just have to see who's number two below her. With that, how do you guys think we get Kamala elected and we get the candidates that we support in Connecticut elected? And before I give you a shot to ask that, I want to clarify and point out we have individuals from the West, Center, and East side of the state. Bailey and I, for example, live in an area that's voted for Trump for the last two times. So I would love to start Bailey and I, and then we'll make our way across the state. So Bailey, what do you think we can do in our area to make sure Kamala and our Democratic candidates get elected?
I mean, for us, it's definitely a little tough. But I think something that I found that's really been working, like just like within my friend group, is, you know, talking about things like Project 2025 or I don't know, just this like attack on young people that we're seeing come from Donald Trump's campaign that like seems just like it doesn't seem real because it's so crazy. It's like, to put it simply, that's what it is. But you know, to I don't want to say dumb that down, but to break that down into bullet points and to say to other young people, hey, here's what's on the line. Like, you could be frustrated about one thing here or there, but like, it's you can't just sit, like, you really can't just sit there and like sit back and watch this happen. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Travis, we're it's a little tough up there. Yeah, something I found like really, really powerful recently is, you know, breaking that down, saying here's what's on the line, here's what's happening, and this is why Kamala Harris is gonna let stop that from happening.
Yes, and especially looking at our state candidates and seeing who, if hypothetically things go the way we don't want them to, who will protect us at the state level especially. I won't name drop anyone right now, but there's definitely a plethora of people that we could all mention, I feel like, that we would definitely champion. How about my folks in the center of the state? What are you thinking?
Yeah, Haritha in my town is definitely more blue. It kind of like depends on the election, but I think part of it is like getting people to register to vote and making sure that people do vote. I know a lot of my friends, like, we're going off to college and stuff. People forget, they don't really care. So it's just like reminding them, you know, make sure you do this. If you're going to have an absentee ballot, like, make sure you mail in the application, start doing all of that stuff just to keep invigorating. And then kind of doing what we're doing and helping out in other parts of the state, right? If we know that we're pretty secure where we are, then going and helping out, or like, I have family friends from Pennsylvania, making sure that they're voting and they're doing their part and talking to them, because that's a swing state. So kind of taking what we have and being able to spread that and use that other places.
I mean, just to piggyback off of that for like the greater Hartford area, I also live in the same town, but I have run races in very red areas and have lost spectacularly and have just really seen what the flavor is in those areas. And it looks like the best way that we're going to be able to win those hearts and minds is if we take it almost, and this is, I almost think that this is why Kamala is the right woman for the moment. We need to take this prosecutorial stance against Donald Trump. We need to take that whole, he has all of these felonies, he has all of these slates against him, and that these are, for a reasonable person, disqualifying reasons for someone to be president of the United, that they should not be president of the United States. I mean, it is incredible that we're even still having this discussion when we have general service jobs that literally you could get, you know, screened out just because you're a felon. So why is the president of the United States above that? That is definitely a question. I think delivering it in the right way, especially because it's wildly popular when you talk to people across the state of Connecticut. We've codified Roe v. Wade. We've, you know, made gay people a protected class. The list goes on, and they are popular in the state of Connecticut, even across Republican, you know, sides. So it's interesting to see that in greater Hartford. And I think that is definitely something we need to do. We need to keep reminding people that every vote really does matter. There are races in greater Hartford that last time were lost by 20 votes. So it really speaks volumes when that is what is happening on the local level. And then we really need to start blowing it up to the, you know, national level. We just did at least 500 postcards trying to, you know, get people in Georgia to remember to vote on election day. So it really speaks to what Ira was saying of how we need to take those democratic, you know, safeguards and then channel them into the places that really need the support the most.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, yes, we did send a bunch of those postcards. Our hands were tired after that. I'm working with nonprofits on initiatives to get more people to register to vote. But I also think another thing is when getting out the vote, which I think is the ultimate goal here, is to also give people something to vote for rather than just against. Because we could educate people about Project 2025 all day and be like, this is what you're voting against. And like Bailey pointed out earlier, at this point, Party 25 just seems so, so extreme, so, so far off that even I can't believe it. It's like, oh, but like that can never happen. It's just so, so crazy. That can't happen here in America. But it can. But that the acceptance of that reality is also something that we're going to be contending with in this election cycle. So we're going to have to give people an opportunity to know what they're voting for. At this point, especially now that we have Kamala, it's you're voting for a woman president. You're voting for a woman of color. You're voting for a former prosecutor. You're voting for someone who will protect democracy and bring up all these great policies. But that can also extend to the state and local level. If there's a great candidate that you support who's running for a state or local race, you can go out and vote for that candidate. And to me, you know, flipping the messaging to what you can be voting for rather than just against, I think can be really powerful in winning some more hearts and minds and getting them out to the polls and actually voting.
Area of the state, we are pretty blue. I mean, we have our little pockets of red, but majority of it is blue. I know here in New London, we are our majority is Democrat, both on our council, mayor, and board of education. And really, I think I'm going into my second cycle as a campaign manager, and every year I hear differently what people want to say or want to hear about before they get to the polls and vote. And it's really results. What are you guys doing? What are Democrats doing for me and for my community? And that's being able to back up what we promised on the campaign trail and say, okay, this is what we did. This is how we're going to continue to accomplish what we're doing. Compared to the Republicans, I think Republicans, specifically in my area, they just point fingers and don't show real solution or real results. And really just getting out the vote and registering people to vote is important and letting them know what's at stake. What is at stake is our democracy. Our democracy can fall down into pieces by just one vote of Donald Trump winning the White House again. In local races too, and our state races, I think we see the same thing. It's just really wanting to solidify or wanting to confirm what Democrats say they're going to do. They're actually doing it. And I can continue to vote for them and I can continue to support their values. That's what I see down here in my side of the state.
I think we can all talk all night about how we're feeling and where we're at with everything. But just to wrap everything up, what is everyone's closing thoughts? How are you feeling? Let's take like a climate check. Like, where's your head at leading into November? And what do you encourage people to do?
I mean, really, to close everything up, I think we need to keep maintaining the energy that we currently have. This is, you know, great. I think we just need to keep plugging it away in a productive way, and we'll be able to, you know, argue the case against Donald Trump in a very succinct, you know, manner, hopefully in a way that converts Republican voters and people across the aisle, some of those sleepy, you know, silent voters. So hopefully we can bring all those together and really make that happen. The only piece of advice I would really say in terms of what I think everybody should be doing on the state level is just keep being consistent. That consistency in really volunteering, going out there, phone banking. I know I'm at least trying to volunteer about 5-10 hours of my time a week to really either call or write postcards or do something that is helping the effort. And I think that if everybody did that, just that little bit, it would make the lift so much easier. So
overall, I've said this a million times, I feel like so enthusiastic about everything in the spot that we're in right now, you know, in my Voters of Tomorrow capacity. We saw a really big spike in donations. We saw a really big spike in, you know, our chapter networks building out, which is so exciting. But I think the main, I guess, ask I have is to just keep having those one-on-one conversations with your friends, with the people you trust, because we know that Gen Z is the best messenger for Gen Z. You know, I said this a couple times, excuse my French, but like Gen Z can tell when it's bullshit. And, you know, when it's people like us, our age working on campaigns, we're able to so much more effectively message to young people. because we're young people. And yeah, I don't know. Keep having those conversations. Keep working on those campaigns and being messengers on those campaigns for, you know, the youth electorate that isn't, you know, something's being overlooked, or when it's being messaged to, it's being messaged to, in my opinion, incorrectly. And I'm sure all of you would probably agree with that.
Yeah, I can follow up on that one. I think part of it is also with that messaging, like Bailey said, remembering that every candidate is going to have their flaws, but when there is one that is going to work at least somewhat to make our country better and one that is clearly going to take it back, it's better to work to elect the one that is going to help us first and then criticize their flaws, as opposed to try to undermine the movement in the first place. So kind of remember that we have to work together, we have to unite together in order to first get Harris in, and then we can do what we need to do.
Yes. Actually, so glad you said that, because I actually had a conversation with somebody earlier about that specific stance that you just brought up. You know, they had said, you know, I don't really like Kamala Harris. You know, Kamala Harris, she did a good job, but she didn't touch on things that I wanted her to touch on as vice president. And I had said to this person, well, what do you want? Do you want to see Donald Trump win and our rights being taken away from us? Or do you want to see Kamala Harris win and us having the opportunity to then advocate for our issues and call her out on what we need to call her out on? Because at the end of the day, we are living in a democracy. We are living in a world where everyone has the freedom of speech. So once she is elected into office and she is our 47th president of the United States, then we can march over to the White House and say, Kamala, this is what we want you to work on. We want you to do it now, or whatever the case may be. Going into this, I'm feeling very energized. I'm feeling ready to take on whatever I need to take on, having these conversations with Republicans and letting them know, you guys are going to lose. You guys aren't going to have a spot, because we're taking over and we're going to win no matter what. And I said this to somebody this morning, if I have to go somewhere else to another state and work to get her elected, I will do that. And, you know, I want people to just educate themselves, really just understand what's at stake when you go to the polls, like really read up on Kamala Harris, read up on Donald Trump, read up on his Project 2025 and how dangerous that is. And I feel like that will move you to make change, and that will move you to have conversations with others. I have a friend, and I'll wrap it up with this. She's 21. She just registered to vote this week. And that was because I kept having conversations with her, and I kept telling her, here, read this little snippet of Project 2025 and let's see how you feel afterwards. And she was ready. She went, she got online and registered to vote, and she's excited to go and vote in November. And that's exactly what it's all about. It's really just understanding what's at stake. So I encourage everyone to look, search your stuff up and research a little bit more before you go out to the polls. But remember, the only way that we can have a democracy is if Democrats unite behind Kamala Harris and whoever her potential running mate will be.
Yeah. Danny ended that so well. He had some great thoughts. So I'm going to have a tough time following up on that. But I think just another thing that I'm actually excited for in Connecticut is we have early voting this year, which I think would be great for voter turnout, making voting so much more accessible. And I can only see that really helping Democrats and helping Kamala Harris. So I think that's great. So really, if people can't make it to the polls that day, educating people and telling people, hey, there are other options this year that you can utilize, whether that be absentee ballots, which we've obviously had for a while, but you can go in and vote before Election Day. So making that an option. And also to second Ira's point, because I am so glad she said that. I am sure a lot of us on this call probably don't agree 100% with Kamala Harris, but we all do agree that we do not want another Trump presidency. So making sure that we are all uniting around Kamala Harris, putting the first woman in office, and then advocating for what we need is definitely the way to go here. So yeah, I'm feeling very energized, so super excited for what's to come.
What it boils down to at the end of the day is kind of simple ways of putting it. It's a prosecutor versus a criminal. It's a freedomocracy versus a dictatorship. It's very black and white. And a lot of people will probably try to say it's gray, but I think at this point, it's a very black and white issue. So I thank all of you for sharing your thoughts and all the work that you're doing in state, out of state, across the country. And I thank you all for sharing your thoughts and opinions with us. If you're listening and you're wondering how you can get more involved, feel free to reach out to Young Dems of Connecticut. We also have 6 regional chapters that you can reach out to as well. But let's all work together and make sure that we have our first female president in November.